Good evening. We are learning the book of Shmuel. The Christians divided the book of Shmuel into two. They call it Samuel A and Samuel B. In Judaism, there's one book of Shmuel, but the printers, for whatever reason, adopted that. Good evening, Yosef Chaim. Want to pass him a pamphlet, please? Thank you. So, we're in what they call Shmuel Bet, and we have the first pious king of Israel, Shaul, killed at war, and his children were killed, and then David is appointed over the south, initially in Hebron, so we have David down here over Judea. We have Shaul's son named Ish-Boshet, who is appointed by Shaul's chief of staff, Avner Ben-Ner, also a relative of Shaul's. He's appointed as the king. And then Avner Ben-Ner goes out with his troops from Machanaim. Can you find Machanaim on the map? Where is Machanaim? Who remembers where Machanaim appears in Torah? Machanaim. I don't see it on this map. Okay, I don't see it here, so I'll show you where it is. I don't see it on any of these maps. Ah, on our big map at Yitzhak. Is our big map. Sorry. No, this one doesn't have it, and this one also doesn't have it. Okay. No. That was a son of David, whose name was Ish-Boshet. That's a different Ish-Boshet. I'm sorry, a son of Yonatan, whose name was Mephibosheth. Okay, so Machanaim is somewhere here, and he crosses over from Machanaim into Israel. Meaning Machanaim is on the eastern side of the Jordan.
Oh, you have it. Very good.
So he showed it to us on the map there. It's somewhere over here. Okay? And he's going to begin just as his kingdom went from the eastern side of the Jordan inward, so too he's going to come in to meet up with David from the eastern side of the Jordan into Givon. Givon happens to be the capital, the spiritual capital of the Jewish people at the time. Givon is going to be... This is on. So let's not play with it, okay? Givon is going to be the place of the altar until we build the temple. So they're going. He takes his men, Avner Ben-Ner, the chief general, and he goes to Givon, and Yoav and his men also come to Givon, and they're facing off. Now, technically, Avner, Ish-Boshet's general, has all of Israel on his side. David has only the tribe of Judea on his side. And they're facing one another, and no one makes a move. Now, in Jewish history, we have numerous times where Jews faced off with Jews, and we always ask the question, who pulled the trigger first? In our most recent history, we know in Altelena, you guys know the story of Altelena? There was... After the declaration of the state, at the point of the declaration of the state, so there was a ship named Altalena that ported, that came to port with arms
for Israel.
For Israel. And there was an argument between the different groups who was going to lead the people of the state of Israel in the war against the British. And so Yitzhak Rabin was a general standing there. And he insisted that the arms cannot come off the ship. And the people on the ship insisted that they have to come off the ship. Now, at that time, there were factions. There was Etzel, there was Lechi, there was Haganah. And there was an argument who would have arms and who would lead the front. And someone fired the first shot. And then the shots kept going until the Altalena went up in flames. And all those weapons did not reach Jewish hands at all. Until today, There's an argument who fired that first shot. Of course, every side claims the other one did. So in our history, we've had internal conflicts.
There was Holocaust survivors on the field. Everything.
There was? Holocaust survivors, of course, yeah. Sure. A lot of people died, but we were killing ourselves. So that's a part of our dark history. And over here, it's very clear. The Navi tells us, Avner initiates the war. He tells Yoav, let's have 10 lads play a game before us. Now it's a game of war. And Yoav says, fine. Yoav is not going to pull back and say, I'm not fighting. Yoav says, I'm representing the king of Israel. Avner says, I'm representing the king of Israel. So Yoav does not initiate the war. Avner initiates the war. Avner says, let's begin by 10 representatives. So they stand and they face off. And you have 12 representing the 12 tribes. 12 from the tribe of Benjamin. 12 from the tribe of Yehuda. And here we have a face-off, a battle between two leadership forces in Israel. You know, in Am Yisrael, we have different strengths, right? We have the strength of Binyamin. We have the strength of Yehuda. Who knows what's Binyamin compared to? In the Binyamin, Zev Yitraf, right? Binyamin's like a wolf. What else do we find? When we have civil war, in the story of the concubine on the hilltop, the tribe of Binyamin takes down all of Israel, and they win. And then they win the second battle. The tribe of Binyamin are the exceptional warriors, and so our first king is from the tribe of Binyamin. And now they grab each one by the other one's head, and each one puts their hand on their sword, and on the count of three, they draw. And when they draw, each one kills the other one, which meant each one was more intent on ensuring they'd win than protecting themselves. And you had 24 people drop dead on the spot, because each one was able to stab the other one in a way that killed him, and you had 24 Jews just drop dead. And this was indicative of the perseverance they were each representing. I'm ready to die. I'm not gonna give up. But war breaks out, and surprisingly, Avner Ben-Ner loses. Israel loses in the face of King David's men, and they're on the run. And on that day, you have Yoav pursuing Jews with his men and killing right and left. Now, Yoav, we have three nephews of David. David has a sister whose name is Tziruya. And Tziruya has three children who are powerful warriors. Yoav ben Tziruya, who's a powerful warrior. He's one of David, he's David's chief of staff. Avishai ben Tziruya, who's a top general. And Asael ben Tziruya. Now Asael was gifted. He could run like no one else could. So when they're winning the war, Avner Ben-Ner starts running, the general of Saul's. And Asael pursues him. And Avner Ben-Ner looks back and he says, is that you, Asael? Look at this. They knew one another by first name basis. So he says, yeah. So he says, there's so many other people you could chase. Why are you chasing after me? So he says, I'm after you. And Avner says, do me a favor. Go after someone else. Why should I kill you? I'll never be able to face your brother again. Go after someone else. And Asael doesn't let up. And he says, please, I won't be able to face your brother if I kill you. And Asael doesn't let up. And Avner Ben-Ner is a skilled warrior. He was King Saul's chief general. And he's now the chief general of Shaul's son Ish-bosheth. So Avner Ben-Ner, with one swift move, he takes the handle of his spear, which was also sharpened, and he sticks the spear in the ground so that it has... And then he sticks it backward, and he pokes Asael on the fifth rib. Now, if you count your ribs, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 before the rib cage closes. So they knew how to hit a person just under where the rib cage closes and pierce the spot where the liver and gallbladder connect. And by piercing that, the liver and gallbladder drop, and the person drops dead on the spot. And that's what he does. So he's on the run, and with a backward motion, he could kill Asael on the spot. And Asael drops dead on the spot. And Avner had asked him, he had said, leave me alone, I don't want to kill you. And Asael didn't let up. Yoav, the chief general of David, Asael's brother, will never forget this day. Yoav will wait years to avenge the death of his brother. And when the time comes that they're about to form peace between the two factions of Israel, Shaul's men and David's men, Yoav will grab Avner ben Ner and say, now we're going to close the deal. Avner will come to make peace. A few years down the road, we will still visit that story. And Yoav will take him to court and say, I'm killing you. And Avner will say, well, how are you killing me? We're about to make peace. And Yoav will say, you killed my brother. And Avner will say, I had no choice. He was chasing after me. He was going to kill me. And Yoav will tell him, if you could aim that well, that you could kill him with one blow, you could have just as well aimed that well and maimed him. You could have crippled him for life. You didn't have to kill him. You're right, he was chasing you, he was ready to kill you. But if you could have saved your own life by just maiming him, then why'd you kill him? And the courts will side with Avner. The courts will side with Yoav, and Yoav will kill Avner. Avner will pay with his life for killing Asael. No. Vayateyu, it says he pulled him over. Our tradition is he pulled him over into court. You're right. The verse says, Vayateyu Bashal. And our sages say, huh?
You're supposed to kill someone if they're trying to kill you?
So not if you can maim them. If you could, then you should.
Why was David so upset about the death of
Avner? David will say, you just jeopardized the peace of the people of Israel over your own vengeance. How could you do that? You have the vengeance of your brother. Civil war could erupt all over again. How could you do that? Now's not the time. David will ensure that civil war does not erupt and he will unify the people. But I'm saying Avner will pay for this. In the end, Yoav will catch up to him. And Yoav will kill him over this. Legally, in court. But he will kill him over this. We'll get there. Let's go in order. So, Yoav is chasing Avner and his men, and as the sun is setting, Avner regroups his men, and he calls out to Yoav, and he says, are you going to kill Jews forever? Don't you realize nothing good's going to come of this? Why don't you tell the Jews to stop killing their brothers? So Yoav said, I swear by Hashem, I wouldn't have started war with the fellow Jew. You started the war. In the morning, you were the one who said, let's begin battle. I would have never started war with a fellow Jew. And so Yoav blows his shofar as a signal that we stop war. And Avner and his men don't trust Yoav. They do what's unnatural in those days. They travel all night long. And again, they're going into the eastern side of the Jordan. So even though technically all of Israel has accepted Ishbosheth as king, his reign is centered over the eastern side of the Jordan. They run back out there. So, in all this battle, King David and his men lost 19 men plus Asael, 20 people total. And Avner lost 360 men. So, for every man they lost, how many did they lose? No quick math. 20 to 360, that's 2 to 36. Gentlemen, you're just out of high school, you should know, no? 18, for every man. For every man that David lost, they lost 18 men. And they were outnumbered, remember. David and his men were outnumbered. So, things are not going well for Shaul's son, Ishbosheth. And David keeps getting stronger. And Avner takes a concubine that was Shaul's concubine, and Ishbosheth questions him. He says, how could you do that? Are you taking the kingship from me? No one's allowed to marry a king's former wife. She was my father's former wife. You can't marry him. You're not the king. So Avner gets very upset, and he says, you have nothing without me. You're going to, after everything I've done for you, you're going to question my motives and what I'm doing and who I'm marrying. He says, that's it, we're done. I'm removing your right to the kingship. I will transfer everyone to David. And I will fulfill God's promise that David will be king over all of Israel. Avner couldn't answer, Ishbosheth couldn't answer him because Avner technically ran the show. So Avner sends messengers to David And he says, I'm ready to make peace with you and bring all the Jews to your side. And David says, fine. Now, I want us to understand the power of what's about to happen now. Let's do a brief history of David the Melech, okay? When David's mother gets pregnant, no one understands how she got pregnant. So when he's born, everyone questions his legitimacy. His father was away from town, and his mother made a trick and mated with his father, and his father wasn't aware of it. Long story short, 3 months later, his father asked her, how'd you just get pregnant? And she says, I tricked you. That night, you thought I wasn't here. I came back. I tricked you. Okay, so David is born, and his father questions his legitimacy. And for the next 3 decades, they're going to question whether David is a bastard or not, whether he's a mamzer. And when David is about 28, that's when Shmuel, the prophet, will show up. And they'll bring all the youngsters to meet him, but they always leave David out. Keep him out. He's the shame of the family. And then Shmuel asks, I'm missing someone here. So Yishai and all the brothers go, oh no, now he's going to tell us the truth. So they bring in David. And they bring in David and they're sure that now Shmuel is going to say, yeah, your wife has stories. This kid, he's a problem child. And when David walks into the room, the look on Shmuel's face says, this is a problematic person, because that's what Shmuel thought too. When David walks into the room and Shmuel looks at him, he sees him and he says, that's a guy who's going to spill a lot of blood in Israel. And Hashem says, no, he will spill the blood that's supposed to be spilled. He will be a warrior in my name. Get up and anoint him. He's the king of Israel. And then Shmuel says, that's the one God chose. He's surprised by it too. And it's at that moment when David is 28, where he spent his whole life, that in every family discussion, they pushed him aside. And anytime they had a family get together, they'd leave him with the sheep. You watch the sheep. They were embarrassed of him. That's what David says in Tehillim. Even ma'asu abonim, the rock that the builders were disgusted with. His family was the family that was known to build all of Israel, but they always wanted David out. He was the shame of the family, the black sheep. Ultimately, he became the cornerstone. Life's looking good. Great. He's appointed. He's anointed. The family's accepted him. Then Shaul wants him dead. He's on the run. Problematic. Then he takes his family. He has to hide them from Shaul. Okay, things seem okay. A month later, he gets word his whole family was murdered because he entrusted them in Moabite territory, and the Moabite king just waited for David to pull out and murdered his whole family. So now David's alone in the world, and his father-in-law wants him dead. He's on the run. Things seem like they might be working out, and then he hears that the Kohanim who tried to help him, the whole city was killed. He comes back to Judean territory. Maybe they'll take care of him. They spy on him. The Zifim, his own relatives, check out all his hideouts, and they come back to Saul with a map, and they say, here, you can get David. We've given you all his hideouts. Life has been going down and down and more problems until finally he goes into Philistine territory. He says, I can't stay with the Jews. They might kill me. Everyone's turning on me. He goes into Philistine territory. He goes out to war. He comes back. His whole family's been captured. All his men's families have been captured. And everything seems doomed. No, he goes out to war. He wins back the families. Now Saul is killed at war. David might have some respite. Things might work out. No, there's civil war. Ishbosheth is appointed king. He has 7 years of war. Now, finally, he might have tranquility. For the first time in his life, all his enemies seem to be settling down. And Avner Ben-Ner tells him, I'm ready to make peace. I will turn all of Israel to your rulership. What should David say? It's a deal. It's the moment I've been waiting for. What does David say? Not yet. Wait a second. There are times in life where our true colors show. And those are times where we have to make decisions about what's really important to us. You will have these opportunities where your child has the party the first time he's getting a sitter and your boss is applying pressure that you shouldn't miss work hours. Do you go and tell your son it's important that he's getting a sitter? Or do you say, sorry, son, we'll daven together a different time. Your child will be graduating, and there will be a lot of pressure on you because at work there's this project, and you're wondering, should I go to my son's graduation, or do I have to support my family? There will constantly be questions in your life where you're challenged. How important is your family in your life? Right now, you're still on the child end. When you go to the parent end, you will have a lot of justification to miss a lot of important things in your life. And then you'll look back at life, and your children will look back at life, and those decisions will have mattered. They won't have mattered to your boss, but they will have mattered to your kids. Your kids will look back, and they will remember whether you were there for their graduation, whether you were there when they got their sidur. Were you there at the important moments of their life? And part of what defines our relationship and the messages we give our kids is whether we're there for them. David HaMelech has the most critical moment in his life right now. Civil war is about to end. And David says, wait, I have a condition. When I was on the run, they took my first wife and they gave her to Palti bin Laish. They said, technically, halachically, my marriage to her wasn't legal, and they're wrong. My marriage was legal. We went through the details when we learned it. What was the technicality they tried to catch David on? David says, legally, I'm married to her. There will be peace with the Jewish people when I have my wife back. Don't come meet me without my wife. So David puts, wait, is it his personal interest? Is his wife his personal interest? Can you put your own personal interest before national interest? Think about the message David is telling us here. How do you do that? Rav Shlomo Zalman once told a student, or told his wife, if they call, tell them I'm preparing class, I can't answer. And then he went to sleep. So a student asked him, he said, how could I tell them you're preparing class? You went to sleep. He said, if I don't sleep, I can't give the class. I'm preparing class, I can't. They saw the Chazon Ish once fell asleep and his pillow was next to the bed. So one of the students asked, Rabbi, why didn't you put the pillow on the bed before you went to sleep? He said, if I had enough energy to pick up the pillow, I would have learned with that energy and then gone to bed. I didn't. By the time I get to bed, I don't have energy to pick up a pillow. There are times where you're doing important things. And it's tempting to think that the family has to sacrifice for you to do important things. I wish you all to be doing very important things. You have to realize that part of my existence is I have to eat, I have to drink, I have to have a family. And if I don't have that, then I don't exist. In our generation, it's become very acceptable that when they write biographies about people, they write about their accomplishments, and sometimes they write, they even sacrifice their family to accomplish this. They accomplished this, and their marriage went on the way, and a lot of things had to go in order for them to accomplish this. I've seen this numerous times in articles as though it's a complimentary thing that someone sacrificed their family to accomplish something. We don't view it that way in Judaism. You say, the family is part of who I am. You don't cut off half your body in order to accomplish something. You say, I have to live, I have to be healthy, that's part of my existence in order for me to accomplish. It's not the concept that Western culture promotes. You want to be a good public servant, you want to be a good worker, you'll invest all those hours, that's how you get ahead in life. We don't view it that way. We view family life as part of life. And without that, you're not getting ahead. You're missing life. What are you getting ahead for? So David HaMelech says, I want peace. I'll make peace. But I first want my wife, the daughter of Shaul HaMelech, King Saul. Yoav was out at war. He comes back and he hears that David was making peace with Avner. Now Yoav was leading the people out. And he comes back and he hears his uncle, King David, is making peace with the arch enemy, with Avner. So he comes back and he says, what'd you do? You know why Avner came here? He came here to figure out how to attack you. He wanted to be a spy firsthand. It's not so far-fetched what Yoav said. I was in Givat Ze'ev, and there was a guy offered me a ride. He had this truck. He saw I just missed the bus. He said, "I'll catch the bus. I have, I don't know how many horsepower truck. He said, I just missed the bus. He said, I'll give you a ride. I'll overtake the bus. Don't worry. And boy, did he rev it up. As he's going, he says to me, I'm on the way to a funeral. I said, what's the funeral? He says to me, you see, Mina, this is a big guy. And he carries like a bunch of guns on him. I said, what do you do? He said, I run a shooting range. So I said, what else do you do? He said, I was a top special ops soldier in the army. But he said, I'm on my way to the funeral. I said, whose funeral? He says to me, our top general, the top special ops general. In, he told me, everywhere you can imagine I've been. If you want to talk to me about Syria, Lebanon, every country you can imagine, I've been there. And he said to me, but I want you to know, the man whose funeral I'm going to today was our top general. And he, we would bring him to a place, take him out of the camouflaged vehicle. He'd have 5 seconds to look around and get back in. And then he'd sit down and start drawing us a map and telling us, over here you have an enemy that's undercover there. Over there you have, in 5 seconds he'd look around and he was like a computer. He'd come back down and start mapping out where all our enemies were hiding, where the Hezbollah has their forces, what's a camouflage, what's a real tree. He said, 5 seconds, get up, look around, come back down and tell us everything. So it shocked me because I thought that specialist for this. I didn't think the top brass sticks their heads up. You guys heard of Entebbe? You know Netanyahu's brother? Yeah? You know the story, probably, yeah. So it always bothered me, the story of Entebbe, because it's a little weird. He's the general of the whole commando unit. How come they let the light shine on him? You know, it's a critical mistake what they did there. They wanted to show the other soldiers where they were, so they turn on the light on the general who's in charge of the whole operation, and then he gets shot. It's not a mistake that should have happened, right? You don't reveal yourself when enemies are still around. So it always shocked me, that story. The top brass is the one that looks around. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes when you're top, you're top. So that's probably what Yoav was saying here. If Avner Ben-Er came into our camp, he probably could look around and figure out exactly where he should attack from. He could look around and understand everything about our camp now. What are you meeting with Avner in our camp where he can now attack us? It's a ploy. Yoav is biased. And Yoav does not wait for David's response. He sends messengers and he calls him back. And he says, you are hereby summoned by the king. Avner was going to do what David sent him. So Avner comes back to Yoav. And Yoav calls him to the side, to the gate. What's the gate? Our sages say he took him to court. The story we discussed a few minutes ago. And the court ruled with Yoav. Our sages say, why in heaven was Yoav deserving of the death penalty? It says he called him back from Bor HaSira. Okay, maybe we'll discuss that next time. And so Yoav kills him the same way he killed his brother. Yoav takes his sword and hits him in the fifth rib. And Avner dies the same death Yoav's brother died, Asael. Well, he was surrounded by King David's men. He was in Davidic territory. It doesn't say that there was a fight. I'm not sure he had a choice. He was standing in front of a court. He was standing with a bunch of soldiers around him. It doesn't say here whether he did a surprise tactic. On the contrary, our tradition is he brought him to court. He had him judged. He made his claim against Avner. Avner said what you had suggested earlier, that I was running for my life, I was allowed to save myself. And Yoav said, no, you could have saved yourself differently. You're not allowed to kill when you could do it differently. And he won. The court sided with him. And that's when Yoav kills him. So David has a problem. Peace in our time just got whisked away. So David has to do something about it. We'll pick up here, Be'ezat Hashem. David curses Yoav. A bitter curse. This is where we'll pick up Be'ezat Hashem next time.